What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Mylène Riobé, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system, to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. with live shows on the first and third mornings, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Mylène Riobé, and thanks for joining me live today, January 15th, 2019, on Awakened Wellness with Mylène Riobé, MD, where we'll be going on an eye-opening, mind-expanding adventure into wellness and disease prevention. We're live today, so I welcome your comments and questions. Be sure to call in at area code 833-220-1200 right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm blessed and honored to be with you here today. We're live every Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. with pre-recorded shows on the second and fourth Tuesday mornings at 11. If you're a night owl, you can listen to our pre-recorded shows Tuesday nights at 11 right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. During our live shows, I encourage you to give us a call with your questions. Again, our number is area code 833-220-1200. I'd like to stress that what we discuss on our show doesn't constitute medical advice, because I'm not specifically evaluating and treating any particular person or condition on the show. My patients who come to see me at the Riobé Institute are fully and properly evaluated before I formulate a treatment plan to share with them. So I also advise you to seek the care of a board-certified integrative medical doctor to see which one of the ideas I'll be sharing throughout our show that may benefit you. I'm looking forward to continually giving you practical, common-sense advice to help you and your loved ones live healthy and be ready for the challenges of being human in the 21st century here on planet Earth. We'll be debunking myths, learning about cutting-edge research corroborating ancient medical systems, and exploring the mind-body-spirit approaches that keep you and your family vibrant, healthy, and happy. Today, we're getting a gut check. We're looking at the hidden gut infections that may be putting your life at risk. This topic is important to me because in Chinese medicine, there's a saying that the spleen is king. In TCM, they call what we would call the gut, they call the spleen. But it includes what we interpret as the entire gastrointestinal system in our conventional medical model. The spleen in traditional Chinese medicine is much more complex than just digestive organs. They're basically energy systems that kind of run not only head to toe, but even go beyond the body. Entire textbooks describe disease treatment from the perspective of the TCM spleen, or what we would call the gastrointestinal system. It's considered to be the hub of health, essentially, according to traditional Chinese medical theory. So according to TCM theory, spleen makes qi, or vital energy, and blood from food. They call it post-heaven qi for this reason. Post-heaven meaning kind of after birth. This is the way that we make our energy, is by eating our food. And the spleen, or the Chinese spleen, which is what we call the gastrointestinal system, will make our vital energy and blood from this food. So it basically runs our entire metabolism, makes our energy and the items that run around in our bloodstream to supply the body with the energy and body function that it needs. For this reason alone, it's critically important. But TCM also states that spleen, or GI, is also responsible for transforming damp, which means it treats inflammation and is a detoxification organ. In fact, the gastrointestinal system is understood in our medical system, in our modern system, to be the chief detoxification organ of the entire body. Spleen suspends organs and keeps blood in the vessels, according to Chinese medicine theory. This is really interesting to me because the way it keeps blood in the vessels is with what we call the microbiome, the good bacteria that live in the large intestine. They make our vitamin K. How the Chinese knew this thousands of years ago, nobody knows, but they did know. Vitamin K is critical for coagulation or blood clotting, and deficiency of this vitamin can lead to bleeding. So this explains what the Chinese knew thousands of years ago when they said that spleen keeps blood in the vessels. TCM spleen also suspends organs. We haven't yet discovered the modern medical explanation for this, but essentially organs are suspended by the upward mobility of energy produced by spleen. Hernias and prolapse, which is a form of a hernia, are prevented by a healthy TCM spleen or gastrointestinal system. In our conventional model, things are suspended by ligaments and connective tissue. So we haven't quite explained what the Chinese meant by this yet, but we do know that it's been a premise in their system for thousands of years. TCM also says that spleen is in charge of defending, which means that the gastrointestinal system forms the immune system. Again, they knew this thousands of years ago. We just figured this out in our modern medicine a decade or so ago. The Wei Qi, as they call it, originates in the middle burner, or loosely the GI system, and is made from grain and water, or in other words, food. So it's clear that TCM spleen, or the gastrointestinal system, is so critical for making all the energy the body uses for body function, running its metabolism, supporting the immune system, preventing inflammation, suspending organs, and preventing bleeding. So it's no surprise that there's been a frenzy about the gastrointestinal system over the decade or so as modern scientists began to better understand the system. When I studied the gastrointestinal system in medical school, it was understood to be a place for digestion and absorption of food and a tube through which waste was eliminated. There wasn't a lot of other emphasis put on this system, and I graduated from medical school in 1996. So a lot has changed in such a short period of time in our modern medical science. In TCM, however, this has been known for 4,000 years. Study after study is emerging about the importance of the gastrointestinal system in the West. It was recently called the most complex ecosystem on planet Earth. In 2012, the Human Microbiome Project was conducted by the U.S. government, resulting in a shocking report which established that 100 trillion little bugs living in the human gut were critical for our body function. In fact, we cannot live without them. They outnumber us, 10 to 1. In our own bodies, we have about 30 to a maximum of 100 trillion cells, depending on size. There are a minimum of 100 trillion bacteria living on our mucosal surfaces as part of our bodies. Further, this report told us unequivocally that these little bugs house 3.4 million genes that control body function for us, our own genes, about as much as a common houseplant. So the fern in the corner of your living room has as many genes in it as you have in your own body cells. This is remarkable. So what makes us so special as human beings is our symbiotic relationship with the bacteria that live within us that provide us with 3.4 million genes as compared to our own 20,000 genes. So keeping those little bugs in our gut, on our skin, in our noses, and in our mouths very happy is critical to our own survival. They're considered the good guys and gals that keep us healthy when we keep them healthy. So it's kind of a you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours agreement that we have with them, whether we know it or not. So on the surface and inside the human body, it's well established that we need certain bacteria that protect and defend us and control our body function. Then there are bugs who are not welcome that can harm us. We'll be discussing these invaders today and the sneaky way they're making us extremely sick and causing many diseases and even deaths without detection. We'll talk about how they gain access to places where they don't belong and how you can determine if you're providing them with shelter and how to get rid of them if you are. In fact, these bugs are commonly diagnosed as irritable bowel syndrome, which is essentially what we call a garbage can diagnosis. It's what we call something when we can't call it something. So when we can't define that you have cancer or Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, we say that you have irritable bowel syndrome if you happen to have symptoms. It's often incorrectly treated with synthetic drugs that do nothing to eliminate the cause and just mask and worsen the situation over time. There's been a lot of hype about H. pylori, an opportunistic bacteria found in the stomach, but the real culprits are elsewhere, hidden in the shadows, undetectable by the usual means. Colonoscopies, upper endoscopies, and biopsies don't find them. Ultrasounds and CAT scans can't see them, but they're wreaking havoc on millions of Americans' health. I'm the medical director of the Rio Bay Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. I've been a practicing physician for 17 years and have the privilege of being double board certified in the newly accepted field of integrative medicine as well as an OBGYN. I grew rapidly frustrated with our conventional medical model soon after completing my residency in OBGYN in 2001, when I realized that I wasn't at all equipped despite 13 years of advanced training in medicine. Patients frequently presented with gastrointestinal symptoms, and we referred them to gastroenterologists who would perform testing. They'd find no significant abnormalities most of the time. The vast majority of these patients would be diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS, and offered synthetic drugs to control symptoms. What I quickly came to learn as I moved ahead with my study of traditional Chinese medicine, or TCM, and functional medicine, was that we were doing more harm than good with this strategy. In our conventional model, we were following standard of care, but we were not preventing diseases that would spiral from this diagnosis of IBS. What I realized was that conventional medicine was only equipped to deal with acute life-threatening conditions. It had limited ability to prevent or treat chronic conditions like gastrointestinal conditions, for example, which constitute a major health concern for millions of Americans. In fact, in 2013, New York University conducted a survey revealing that a shocking 74% of Americans experienced gastrointestinal symptoms of bloating, abdominal pain, nausea, diarrhea or loose stools, constipation, and heartburn. Until I studied TCM and functional medicine, I was unable to assist the vast majority of these patients. That's 74%, that's 3 out of every 4 Americans who have overt symptoms of a gastrointestinal condition. The vast majority of which don't share this information with their physicians for whatever reason. I learned that I wouldn't be able to change the conventional model, but rather look at other systems that were better equipped for what my patients needed. My patients come to see me for symptoms of gastrointestinal disturbances or fatigue. Symptoms of fatigue, anxiety, and depression are not directly related to the gastrointestinal system, but they are indirectly related, as we are learning the hard way. Americans are realizing that masking symptoms with synthetic drugs is dangerous in the long run, but many don't know where to turn for answers. Savvy patients are wanting to find out if they really should be exposing themselves to these toxic drugs or if there are better options out there to help them, no better, but to be healthier. On today's show, I'd like to start a conversation about the underlying causes of what might be called or diagnosed as IBS and discuss how this misdiagnosis can actually put your life at risk. Later in our show, I'll share 5 tips for better gut health or spleen chi health. The most profound lesson I've learned in studying traditional Chinese medicine and functional medicine, also known as integrative medicine, is that they reveal things that would otherwise remain hidden under the conventional medical model. In conventional medicine, it takes a lot to change dogma, and we remain outdated for decades when lives are at stake. We see this as the catastrophe we're now dealing with in America and increasingly throughout the world. Our life expectancy is declining, according to the CDC. We're the only developed country in the world with these abysmal statistics because we don't follow facts. TCM teaches us that the body is a connected whole, intimately part of its environment, and largely, if not entirely, made of energy, not matter or physical things. Quantum physicists in ancient traditions tell us that only 4% of the universe is physical matter. TCM understands this and applies it. So why are the vast majority of Americans with gut symptoms not getting properly diagnosed? One reason is that cameras are limited in what they can see. They rarely find infections, and the most critical area that needs to be assessed is never evaluated. Why? Because it's hard to get to. When you have an upper endoscopy, a small camera is put down into the stomach area and perhaps a few inches into the small intestine or the duodenum. So they assess these areas with a camera, looking for cancer, ulcers, inflammation, gastritis, hiatal hernia. Increasingly, H. pylori bacteria is being tested for and treated, but then it stops there. In a colonoscopy, the large intestine is assessed for cancer, diverticulosis, ulcerative colitis, and Crohn's disease. But the small intestine is not assessed then either. So we have about 20 to 23 feet of the intestines that cannot be evaluated or assessed directly. A Johns Hopkins study done in 2014 suggested that about 70% of patients who see a gastroenterologist for abdominal symptoms have small intestine bacterial overgrowth. An alarming study on our kids found that 70% of children with abdominal symptoms also have very few medical doctors even believe in this condition. Excuse me. So it was a relief to see some studies being done by top-notch academic institutions to bring attention to this dangerous hidden condition. To appreciate the gravity of this condition, we must first understand the function of the small intestine and why it's hard to properly assess. Number one is it's 23 feet long in most people. Number two, we don't have the instruments that can really assess it properly. We also have to understand that it's responsible for the absorption of all our food. So all that you ingest is absorbed, it's digested and absorbed through the small intestine. So as we discussed earlier, TCM spleen makes qi and blood from food. Essentially, all metabolism derives from absorption of food through the small intestine. While this sounds simplistic, it's critical to appreciate because this 23-foot tube in the abdomen is responsible for all the energy your body makes to power itself. Then we have to ask how this function can get disturbed. So one reason is the pancreas, which makes enzymes, which is also part of TCM spleen, may not be functioning. It's widely known that the pancreas produces fewer and fewer enzymes as we age. Enzymes are critical proteins that begin to break down food products for us to make them small enough to be absorbed through the small intestine so that they can get into the bloodstream and be distributed through the body. Number two, the small intestine is actually very prone to infection. Why? There are many reasons for this, related basically to a weakened immune system. We rely on our immune system to protect the large and small intestine each time we ingest food or put anything in our mouth. Everything we eat is teeming with bacteria, and our immune system assures that these bugs don't make it down to our small intestine, which should be a relatively sterile area. The acid in our stomach also defends us against abnormal bugs gaining access to the small intestine. So taking antacids would eliminate this defense system and make us more prone to infection. Number three, the small intestine is prone to infection due to stress, which we know, based on decades of research, suppresses the immune system. This also allows bacteria and viruses to take over and overgrow. Four, there's also some speculation that keeping the large intestine microbiome in balance is critical to prevent overgrowth that may impact the small intestine and other areas of the body. The body keeps a very tight balance between the gut, where 70% of good bugs are housed, and the rest of the body. The mechanisms that control this are not well understood at this time, but the mucus secreted by the large intestine is one critical component to maintain this balance. The mucus secreted by the intestines in general is a critical component. Number five, it's clear that the large intestine microbiome is involved in all aspects of the immune system, so balance in the large intestine microbiome. Given the use of pesticides in our food sources and the injudicious use of antibiotics, which has clearly disturbed this delicate balance over the past 50 years or so, this is likely at least contributing in part to the 74% of Americans who currently have gut symptoms. So there are several mechanisms that can lead to infection in the small intestine. And we have studies suggesting that up to 70% of people with GI symptoms likely have this infection. Yet most doctors don't really believe in the possibility of infection in the small intestine. And not many gastroenterologists know about or treat small intestine bacterial overgrowth. I recently took my son to a pediatric gastroenterologist at the request of his dad, who wanted to make sure we covered all bases. He had been having some gastrointestinal symptoms for a couple of months, and it was hard to tell if he was catching something from school or if there was something else going on. So I went ahead and I diagnosed him, and I found that he did have small intestine bacterial overgrowth and started a regimen of natural herbs for him. So we did go ahead and take him to a pediatric gastroenterologist who flatly admitted to me that he knew nothing about small intestine bacterial overgrowth, even though studies were showing that 7 out of every 10 of his pediatric clients likely had this infection. As I looked around this waiting room at all these kids in his office who were likely not to get the help they needed, I felt a pit in my stomach, while at the same time feeling a significant level of relief that my son wouldn't be impacted because I happen to know how to treat this condition. If I didn't know to refuse the antacid this doctor wanted to prescribe, my son would have been placed on this medication. His symptoms would have been masked. And possibly years down the road, he'd be susceptible to other more serious conditions, being linked to a growing list of medical conditions, which we will discuss when we come back from this commercial break. We're getting ready for our first commercial break, so thanks for listening to Awakened Wellness with Milen Riobe, MD, right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. You can learn more at RiobeIntegrativeMedicine.com. Riobe is spelled R-I-O-B-E as in boy, E as in Edward. Give us a call with your questions or comments. The number is area code 83220-1200. When we come back, we'll talk about how hidden gut infections may be putting your life at risk and what you can do about it. Thank you. Thank you.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Mylène Riobé, MD. Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time with live shows on the first and third mornings when you can call in and ask Dr. Mylène the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Mylène is the medical director of the Riobé Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RiobeIntegrativeMedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For 40 years, Omega has been a gathering place for great thinkers, creative talent, spiritual teachers, and social visionaries. With 390 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
If you're living with fear and stress in your life, there is an answer.
If you're ready for a better way, step through The Doorway.
The Doorway is a multimedia online course for transcending fear, transforming relationships, accessing inner guidance, and experiencing more inspiration and trust in your life.
To learn more about these online courses based on the teachings of A Course in Miracles and David Hoffmeister, go to acimcourses.com.
What if everything we've experienced is but a pale image of what human life could become? It's now time to bring forward a new set of guidelines to live by, a vision of what human life was meant to be. The Second Genesis Awakening with your host, Deborah Bruintout, singer, songwriter, and intuitive facilitator, will share insights and understandings interwoven with lots of stories from people just like you and I who have longed for and begun this evolutionary shift of how life works.
Hi, I'm Deborah. Join me every Monday on DreamVision7Radio.com. The show airs at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time. See you there.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness with Mylène Riobé, MD. I'm your host, Dr. Mylène, and thank you for joining me today, live, January 15th, 2019. Today we're getting a gut check and we're discussing the hidden infections that could be placing your life at risk and what you can do about it. So in our last segment, we talked about small intestine bacterial overgrowth and how it can take hold and how it is unfortunately not recognized yet in our conventional medical community by enough physicians to be as impactful as it needs to be. Small intestine bacterial overgrowth, or SIBO, as it's called, is being linked to a growing list of medical conditions. For obvious reasons, because, again, TCM spleen is the hub of health, and if it is infected and not working properly, it's going to impact every aspect of health that we can think of. The most shocking one I discovered this year was pulmonary embolus. And I've been seeing a lot of commercials on TV for what they call DVT blood clots or DVT-PE, which is essentially a pulmonary embolus, and they're offering blood thinners as a solution. And blood thinners are critically important to save lives once you've had a pulmonary embolus. Equally important is the fact that we're beginning to determine that the increasing numbers of pulmonary emboli that we're experiencing might be due to an infection in the gut. Pulmonary embolus is a life-threatening blood clot that dislodges from the veins in the legs and travel to the lungs, blocking the ability to breathe and take in oxygen. I've had two patients have PE out of the blue in the past 3 to 4 years. Otherwise, very healthy women, taking their supplements, taking care of themselves, exercising. Now on blood thinners, debating if they can come off or not. I investigated this link because I had diagnosed one of them with SIBO shortly after she was diagnosed with her PE, and the other I had wanted to do testing for the past couple of years, but she hadn't yet decided to move forward. I found a Cleveland Clinic study recently that was conducted showing a link between SIBO and pulmonary embolus. In fact, the Cleveland Clinic found that SIBO increases the risk of a pulmonary embolus by 100%. This is more than cancer, hormones, or any other known risk factor for pulmonary embolus. This is a big deal. SIBO is also linked to cardiac disease, according to a study released in 2018 by the Cleveland Clinic. Patients diagnosed with SIBO have double the risk of heart disease when compared to patients who do not have SIBO. Diabetes risk is also doubled when you have SIBO as compared to when you don't. And so is chronic kidney disease. You have double the risk of chronic kidney disease in the presence of small intestine bacterial overgrowth. So the risk of diabetes, kidney disease, heart disease, and pulmonary embolus is doubled in the presence of SIBO. All of these conditions are life-threatening. It's easy to see once we appreciate the function of the small intestine, how its dysfunction could lead to other more serious diseases like diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease, and lung pulmonary embolus. If we can't absorb critical antioxidants, fats, proteins, and more, the functions that result from these critical nutrients can't take place. Over time, fewer and fewer nutrients are available to supply proper body function, and it deteriorates more and more. Studies have not yet linked an increased risk of cancer to SIBO, but it makes sense that this connection would exist for the same reason. Chinese medical theory can lead us to this conclusion based on the idea that SIBO is already shown to impede circulation and cause toxicity. TCM causes of cancer include gut deficiencies, which they call spleen sheet deficiency. It also includes what they call toxic heat, which would be the equivalent to toxins and acidity produced by the bacteria in the small intestine. Phlegm nodulation is also a cause of cancer, according to TCM medical theory, which would be the equivalent of a type of inflammation. So the link between cancer and SIBO can be seen through the eyes of TCM if we follow the dots. So now I'd like to discuss symptoms that should cause a high suspicion of SIBO and how it can be diagnosed and treated. The symptoms of SIBO may vary from none to nausea, bloating, constipation, loose stools, and heartburn. Symptoms are not a requirement to have SIBO. I've had several patients with SIBO deny any direct gut symptoms. Excuse me. Yet they had multiple nutrient deficits not corrected by proper nutrition and proper supplementation. These patients had more symptoms like fatigue or anxiety or mild depression. They had no direct gastrointestinal symptoms. And when we repeated their nutrition testing, we confirmed the presence of continued nutrient deficits, which pointed towards malabsorption. So we did breath testing and confirmed the presence of SIBO. We'll talk about breath testing as the gold standard of SIBO in a bit. But TCM can tell us right away that SIBO may be present when we evaluate with the four examinations. There could be symptoms of fatigue, loose stool, poor appetite, that can lead to the diagnosis of spleen sheath deficiency. There may be a thick white or yellow tongue coating, indicating inflammation, as well as possible redness of the tongue, loosely indicating toxicity or acidity. The diagnosis is much more involved than this, but these are some things that might be found on evaluation, which would trigger further testing. A high index of suspicion is needed for proper identification of this very, very dangerous risk factor for life-threatening diseases. I've developed a healthy paranoia in recent years around this infection as the data has come pouring out about just how dangerous it is. Why does SIBO create symptoms? Nausea and bloating and heartburn can result from the toxins made by the bacteria that are infecting the small intestine. They're released into the small intestine can lead to feeling full, having a loss of appetite, or even an increased appetite. The bloating is caused by gases emitted by the bacteria. Most frequently, these gases are hydrogen and methane gases. So despite our technology and spending twice as much as any other developed nation on the planet, heart attacks remain the number one cause of death. So now we have evidence that 74% of Americans have gut symptoms, and 70% of them are likely to have SIBO, including 70% of children with gut symptoms. This leads to the urgency that this condition should be hunted down and treated aggressively as a means of preventing heart attacks and other significant diseases. So why is it so hard to do? One idea is that our conventional medical model is deductive. We cut things up into smaller parts. So cardiologists deal only with the heart and don't look at the links between the gut and the heart. Gastroenterologists look at the gut only and don't link gut diseases to other body symptoms. We all work in a box and don't collaborate enough to utilize the data that's pouring out in the medical field. The field of integrative medicine is different. It is holistic by its nature, not deductive. So the link between different body systems is very well understood and appreciated. This is why seeing an integrative medical doctor can make the difference between life and death. And this is why in 2014, the American Board of Physician Specialties formally recognized integrative medicine as a medical specialty. SIBO is not so much hard to diagnose, but it's not visualized directly with standard medical testing. We have to indirectly find the culprits by measuring gases that they emit in response to eating sugar. So we talked about bloating being caused by the release of methane and hydrogen gases by bacteria. This is what they do in response to sugar. So a lactulose-based breath test is being increasingly accepted as the gold standard for diagnosis of SIBO. Lactulose is a form of a carbohydrate. This is the testing that is used at major academic institutions such as Johns Hopkins and Cleveland Clinic and other leading institutions. A lactulose solution of sugar is given to the patient and the gases are measured in the breath as the liquid moves through the gut. These gases are measured in a lab and a raw result is sent to the physician who can then interpret the results based on patient history, symptoms, and the raw numbers. This test is not foolproof, so it's important to have someone experienced in its interpretation. There are foods that can increase gases, leading to false positive results. False negative results can be caused by recent use of antibiotics or anti-inflammatory drugs. It's important to get proper guidance prior to testing in order to get accurate interpretation. This is best obtained by a board-certified integrative medical doctor. Unfortunately, not many gastroenterologists are familiar with this testing, so it's critical to find out if the doctor you intend to see is familiar with diagnosis and treatment of this condition in order to reduce your risk of significant diseases down the road. Once diagnosed, the next hurdle is treatment. In 2013, Johns Hopkins studied and compared antibiotics to herbs for the treatment of SIBO. It was a fairly small study, but not many academic institutions are studying this condition yet, so it was important nonetheless. What they found is that herbs were actually better than antibiotics for the successful treatment of SIBO. what they found is that nothing was better than 50% effective. So antibiotics, in this case, a specific antibiotic called rifaximin, was shown to be only 37% effective for the treatment of SIBO. Success of treatment was determined by a normal breath test. So rifaximin only normalized the breath test 37% of the time. Herbal therapies normalized the breath test 47% of the time. So while it was significantly better, it wasn't better than 50%. So what Johns Hopkins did was they continued to use different herbal remedies. They had two different protocols that they would use, and they kept getting about 50% success. So what that meant is that as you continued to use different protocols, your likelihood of success increased incrementally. And if you're going to be using multiple protocols, it's important to use one that's safe long-term. So herbals are considerably more safe than antibiotics. Rifaximin is fairly new. It's synthetic. It sits in the gut and is not absorbed into the body. While that appears to be an advantage, when we consider the microbiome in the large intestine and the damage antibiotics do to this delicate ecosystem, this is not an ideal solution. So the herbs that were specifically studied were a combination of one combination called FC-cytyl and dysbiocide, and the other was called candibactin AR and candibactin BR. Again, no specific cocktail was better than 50%. Why? Because we're measuring gases, we're getting an indirect reading. And so we're not identifying the bugs specifically, so we don't know who they are really with certainty. And this makes treating difficult. So what else can we do? When we come back, we'll talk about how you can reduce your risk of SIBO and 5 tips to keep your gut healthy and happy. Right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. Thanks for joining us. When we come back, we have a question from Robin that we'll address. And we'll give a five tips on how to keep you and your family healthy and happy and free of SIBO. Thanks for listening. Please give us a call, 833-220-1200. We'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Mylène Riobé, MD. Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time with live shows on the first and third mornings when you can call in and ask Dr. Mylène the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Mylène is the medical director of the Riobé Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobeintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Stroll through the garden, relax by the lake, or try a daily yoga or movement class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roy DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number four, classes.org. Sign up today.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness with Milan Rayobe, MD. I'm your host, Dr. Milan, and today we're getting a gut check. We're talking about hidden infections that may be placing your life at risk and what you can do about it. We have a question from Robin, and she would like to know why her mom's doctor is waiting to repair an aortic aneurysm. And aortic aneurysm is a bulging of the aorta, which is the most major blood vessel in the body. So it carries a lot of blood, and operating on it can be pretty dangerous, has some fairly significant risks, although that procedure has been, you know, certainly refined and the risk of death is getting lower and lower. There are complications associated with it. Now, on the other side of that coin, there are complications associated with an aortic aneurysm that ruptures, and almost immediate death can occur. So you have to weigh the pros and cons of subjecting someone to a potentially unnecessary procedure because that aneurysm may never get any bigger and it may stay completely stable versus the risk of rupture. So not being a cardiologist myself, you know, I don't have very specific parameters, but roughly the size of 5 centimeters is my understanding of when the risk of watching an aneurysm might outweigh the risk of the actual procedure. And so I hope that answers your question. But always a second opinion is never a bad idea. So taking, you know, encouraging your mom to go see another cardiologist just to get a second opinion, just to set your mind at ease and her mind at ease would be another option as well. So I hope that helps. So we're getting back to small intestine bacterial overgrowth. We talked about how diagnosing it can be a little bit tricky, how the gold standard is considered to be a breath test, and how no treatment modality to date has been shown to be more than 50% effective. So what else can we do? So there's such a thing as a FODMAP diet. I use the one developed by Stanford University, and what it does is it removes inflammatory foods from the diet. It doesn't remove all carbohydrates. It removes the ones that are inflammatory specifically. And what that does is that helps reduce the symptoms of SIBO as well as the inflammation. It doesn't treat the infection, but it does make it a little easier to treat with various herbal products. Improving gut motility also helps treat this condition. Ibergast is an herb that's shown to increase gut motility. Spleen chi tonics, according to TCM, also increases gut motility. And probiotics have also been shown to increase gut motility to some extent. The other important thing is to look for damage done to the intestines by the infection. So treating the infection itself is important, but then we have to look at any damage it may have caused. So we know that the integrity of the gut can be damaged and breached. This is called a leaky gut. We know that there can be significant imbalance of the microbiome, which can lead to inflammation, weakened immunity, and general instability of metabolism. And we also know that SIBO can cause malabsorption, leading to significant nutrient deficit. So this can all be determined with further testing, with an advanced stool test, and a comprehensive treatment plan then implemented. What's important is that you have the proper guidance, you have the proper testing, the proper treatment, and then the repeat testing, so that you can set your mind at ease that everything has been successfully treated. SIBO is tricky. It can recur at any time, especially since we're all under chronic stress. It makes it easy for this infection to come back. And so a high index of suspicion for recurrence must be employed. We're also seeing studies that the use of antibiotics actually increases the risk of recurrence, especially in kids. So it's important to consider other more natural options to treat this infection successfully. So now I'd like to talk about some tips to keep your gut super healthy. So if you can't get to a board-certified integrative medical doctor, you can try a few preliminary steps that can help you. Number one is start a high-quality probiotic to help replace missing good bacteria in your microbiome. Restoring this balance is critical. Probiotics boost immunity and increase gut motility. Probiotics are temporary, so consistent use of them is necessary. It's best to be diagnosed with a deficiency of good bacteria before you start taking probiotics, because we don't really know what happens if you take them and you don't need them. Number two, spleen chi tonic foods help strengthen the gut, and those are recommended. So generally, root vegetables, ancient grains like amaranth, millet, even white rice tonify the gut. White rice is eaten all throughout Asia, and their health is considerably better than ours. So white rice is not really the bad food that we think it is, although when we use arsenic-tainted soil to grow it, it doesn't help. So make sure that your white rice is safe to use. Number three, resistive carbohydrates. They're similar to prebiotics that help stimulate the microbiome. So prebiotics are non-bacterial agents that help boost the good bacteria. Resistive carbohydrates include oatmeal, green bananas, green plantains, white rice, cooked and then cooled, as well as white potatoes, cooked and then cooled. Number four, fructooligosaccharides, or FOS. These are naturally found in certain foods, such as onions, chicory, asparagus, banana, garlic, and artichokes. Many of these are known spleen chi tonics and are considered prebiotics. Increasing these foods in your diet and help protect you from SIBO. And number five, bone broth. Bone broth may provide important healing ingredients, including gelatin, the fructooligosaccharides that we just mentioned, and many other nutrients that help boost immunity. Other healthy soups containing veggies and bones cooked can also be useful for spleen nourishing. In TCM, they talk about porridges and soups that are cooked for extended periods of time, sometimes even 24 hours, to really help boost their spleen chi nourishing qualities. These soups and porridges are critical to boost immunity and to heal the gut. And so these are highly encouraged. One thing about bone broth is some of the bones may contain carbohydrates that might be irritants to the gut. So again, looking for a board-certified integrated medical doctor who can help guide you is critically important. So these tips can help keep your gut healthy, but it's important to seek proper care if you have any symptoms associated with gut, or even just the symptom of fatigue, anxiety, or mild depression. Those are all indirect results of SIBO. If you continue to feel poorly, be sure that you've obtained your annual physical and obtained your recommended screenings, and seek the help of a board-certified integrative medical doctor for more help. That's all the time we have for today's show. thanks so much for joining me on Awakened Wellness with Milen Rioba, MD, and tolerating my dry cough that I've had for the past day or so. So I'm happy to be with you here, right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio, the media partner for the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. If you'd like more information on our topic today, visit RioBaIntegrativeMedicine.com. Be sure to join us for our next live show on January 29th, right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. Thanks for listening. Until next time, many blessings.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Rioba, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time, with live shows on the first and third Tuesday mornings of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness8 and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Rioba Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RioBaIntegrativeMedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.